Well, in my opinion, and I say in my book, we take a network to fight a network. We use an I force, enabling our troops to swarm. And the way we would do that, and we actually have experimented with it, and in 2006 in the city of Mosul, it happened as a consequence of just trying to survive, and it turned out to be very successful. So what we did was you push power down to the lower levels, battalions, companies, sometimes even platoons, and they're allowed to make their decisions at the lower level. They also share their missions and their targets with other units in the area, like an Army unit could share with a Special Forces unit and likewise could share with a Marine unit. So they all kind of know what each other is doing. And when they engage, they can actually collaborate directly at the lower level. The way the military was built was to fight conventional wars against the major army. And so things going up the chain, decisions made there and then coming back down made sense. But the fight is really dynamic now. It's more like cops on the beat. So that each troop out there needs to be able to call for higher level support, like air or artillery, and direct them immediately at the lowest level. And we've done that, and what we need to do now is kind of codify that, train that, and be prepared to use that as a way to fight these guerrilla-type wars.
Well, tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, I open up with describing how and why things changed. And I really think it goes back to the collapse of the Soviet Union back in 1991. Back in the Cold War days, everybody pretty much had to take sides. You were either with the Russians, the Soviets, or you were with the Americans, the capitalists. And any event, any incident, had the potential of escalating into a nuclear face-off between those two great powers, superpowers. And because of that, everybody in the world, whether they liked it or not, they were aligned, and they had to keep their radicals under wraps because nobody wanted to be the ones who caused, you know, a face-off. And so everything was monitored and regulated and tracked. Trade, travel, communications, exchange of information, all that stuff was controlled very tightly. I don't think you ever would have seen a 9/11 during the Cold War or an attack on a theater in Moscow during the Cold War. But once the Soviet Union collapsed, all the old motivations for war were unleashed. We saw that with the collapse of the old Soviet Union. There was a dozen or so former Soviet republics that left, and they did so based on ethnic nationalism. And ethnic nationalism was not allowed to be a motive for war during the Cold War days. So anyways, I think the collapse of the Soviet Union opened up all these new motivations for war, whether they were ethnic or sectarian based on religion. So I describe how that changed. And with the globalization, the liberalization of and democratization of travel, knowledge, sharing knowledge, information, communications, it unleashed a whole set of tools that all these new movements could put into work. And so it describes how the insurgents in the world kind of gradually woke up to the fact that they could travel around easily. They could talk across borders easily. And by using the internet, they could recruit indirectly rather than going face to face. And local causes could be turned into global causes. And so all these things kind of roll together, kind of super empowering these small groups that back in the old days would have been marginalized, very local, back-of-the-newspaper type of event.